I know, I'm nervous too. So Advent, okay, it's good, right? Okay, just in case. There was an incident last week in the second service. Advent means an arrival or a coming. And for Christians, it's a time that we're preparing our heart to celebrate the coming of Jesus. And typically in church tradition, we celebrate in three themes: hope and peace and joy. And today is love.
Today's reading is from 1 John 4:7 through 12. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. I'll take that. Human beings need love. We crave it. We hunger for it. We love love. It really is like the one thing that we all want. It's built into every human being to crave love. And you know who gets that? Advertisers, right? And that's just why they love to tie their products to love. So it feels like if I buy their product, I won't just have whiter teeth and a better car and stronger cell phone service or better tasting coffee. If I buy their product, I will experience sweet, beautiful love. Here's a great example. Take a look at this commercial.
Sometimes the little things last the longest. Give extra, get extra.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, if you're not crying a little bit right now, you're not saved. You need to get right with Jesus because you are going to burn. And if you are crying right now, I want to ask you this question. Why is that so emotional for us? Right? What is moving us to actually shed tears and buy gum? Because it's not the gum, right? It's because we are moved by love. And that music and those images stir this thing up in us, this thing that is wired deep in each one of us, that we admire love. There's a hole in us for it. We crave love, deeper, greater, more profound love. And this is why love is the central theme of most poems, books, movies, songs. And I want to illustrate this for you, and I love this liturgical, traditional church stuff we're doing, and I'm really trying. I'm not very good at this, and last week, Mike has to make fun of me, I caught the wreath on fire at 11 o'clock, so today... to just illustrate how central love is in our minds and in our hearts and in our culture and just in us. This week, we might do something that feels a little more home churchish. So I'll just ask you the question, who's up for something weird? Okay, good. So now if you're visiting with us, maybe you don't know what this is all about, but maybe you came from a church. Every church has traditions, right? We do certain things, little liturgies. Maybe you grew up in a church where if somebody said, peace be with you, what did you say? And also to you, right? When she said, this is the word of the Lord, what did a lot of you say? Thanks be to God, whether you meant to say it or not. It's just like it's just this response. And at home church, here's how we roll. When I say who's up for something weird, the proper response is we raise our hands and with crazy enthusiasm, we yell out, yeah! And then right after that, we usually do something stupid, okay? And so today we're going to do something stupid. We're going to play Name That Tune. So I'm going to need two volunteers who know their music. Right there. Come on. Who else? Brittany? Come on, Brittany. Come on, you can do it. All right. We are making this one up as we go here. Put this away here. Okay, I'm going to get you guys to stand right over here.
Okay.
Hi. Have we ever met before this? No, I'm just kidding. That's another. Okay, tell us your names.
Jen.
Brittany. And Brittany. So we're going to play Name That Tune. So here's what we're going to do. Oh, I need my goodies. You guys first get one of these each.
Oh.
So hold it like this, right?
At first I thought I was like a
Rudolph. No, it could go Rudolph as well. And so here's what's going to happen. We're going to play a few seconds of a song. Okay. And then when you think you know it, you're going to hit your buzzer. Let's try that. Okay, it's not loud enough. You guys go like this when you do it. Just try it real quick. Perfect. So then whoever says it first, then you'll get to try to guess the song, and if you get 1 point for getting the name of the song, and then a bonus point if you know the singer of the song. Okay? So, and then we'll just see, and keep your own score, okay? We're just making this up right now, so I don't have my score keeping. And then whoever has the most, we have 7 songs, number of perfection. And so at the end of the 7 songs, whoever has the most points is going to win dinner for two at the Branch. Yeah. And then I forgot what we got. And then our consolation prize is a home church outreach cap. So there's really no losers at home church. So, I think that's it. Are we ready? Chris, you have the first song? All right, here we go.
It's the only thing that there's just too little.
Jen?
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. But is that what it's called?
Hold on. Do you know the singer?
Ooh.
Okay, we'll see if you get, at least maybe you get 1 point. Just make up a name like Bob or something. It could be anything. Okay, Chris, let's see what the name of his song is. Is love, sweet love. Okay, so she gets 1 point. Yeah? Okay. All right. Here we go. We're going to go to the second song.
Okay. I don't know this one. I'm so sorry. I was born in 83.
They'll get newer. I should have got like an old person and a young person. That would have been hilarious. Okay, let's see what that song was. You're going to kick yourself.
The Beatles.
All you need is love. Love.
I needed to get to the car.
I know. Anybody can do that. Okay. All right, so we're staying at 1-0. Okay. Next song. That's good. Okay.
I don't know the song though, but I can. It needs to get to the chorus.
Yeah, da 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 da. Okay, let's see it. That's a chicken dance you're thinking. The power of love.
I got Huey Lewis the News.
That's good. So you got 2 points. Brittany, you need to get busy, girl. Okay. Third song. Does anybody know that one? What's wrong with you people? Okay, play it. You had your chance.
What love is for.
Come on.
I want you to show me.
Okay, if you're about my age, look how old those guys are now. Isn't that horrible? God, that's what we look like. Yeah. All right, let's try the next one. All right, maybe. All right, let's tell them what that one was. You've heard that song, right?
I've heard it.
In elevators.
For sure.
Grocery store. Okay, maybe I'll get more modern. Okay, let's try the next one. You gotta hit your buzzer. Hit your buzzer. There it is. Okay, what is it? Crazy in Love. And who's the artist?
Beyonce.
Boom! So that's... You have two? I was going to do that, but I just didn't. I think we have one more? One more. Here it is. There's two people in the room that don't know that song. What's the score? Is it 2-2?
No.
Okay, is that all the songs, Chris? Oh, I did not allow for a tie. Okay, rock, paper, scissors. Okay. Hey, we don't... Still a good prize. Congratulations. You're the champion. Even though you... One song. Okay, that's it. Thank you. All right, thank you.
And these handrails.
I know, we're first class now. Did you get the theme, though, of all of those songs? It's all about love. It's wired into us to think about love and to write about love and to sing about love. And from commercials to poetry, books, movies, songs, for humans, love is not just a thing. It's the thing that we admire, that we crave, that we want, that we need. And if you know that, if you know that what you need is love, and if you really want to experience the power of love, and if you want to know what love is, and if you're searching for a higher love, if a crazy love, then the right place to look for love, the right place to find real love, is in the Advent. It's in the coming of Jesus. Advent love is where we really see and we actually experience the love that God created us to crave. It's where that need is met. And this passage that Gentry read teaches us so much about Advent love, real love, God's love. In fact, it tells us that God is love. 1 John 4:7, John said, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anybody who does not love does not know God, because God is love." God doesn't just show love or teach love or exude love. God is love. He is the definition. God is the personification of love. So love is the essence of who God is. Now, the Bible uses lots of adjectives to describe how God is. He's righteous and he's faithful and he's just and merciful and patient. But in our passage today, John isn't talking about how God is. He's talking about who God is, God's essential nature. And God isn't just, love isn't just like one attribute among many other attributes. Love is the defining reality through which all of God's attributes are expressed. How God is a product of who God is. It's his essential nature. And love isn't just one of many characteristics. All of his characteristics are expressed out of love. So his righteousness and his patience and his mercy and his justice and his faithfulness and his kindness all flow out of his true identity, his real self, his essential nature. And his essential nature is love. So if you want to know real love, if you want to experience real love, that starts with knowing God. That starts with experiencing him. And I love this part that says, since God is love, anyone who is a child of God loves. And that makes sense. I mean, if your parents' essential nature is that they're human, how many of you, your parents are human? Most. And so for you, as their kids, you probably have some character traits, right, that flow from their humanness, family resemblances, right? Like you walk upright instead of on all fours, and you can think and reason and create art and opposable thumbs, right? If you're a child of a human, you have opposable thumbs. If you're a child of God, you love. Because love is who God is. That's his most dominant attribute. And of course it shows up as a family resemblance in his kids. So if you want to experience love, real love, world-changing, powerful, higher, crazy love, the best way to know and experience love is by knowing and experiencing God. And kind of the flip side of that is that if you want your family or your friends or the people around you to experience God, the best way for you to share God is by sharing his love, because God is love. And we share that love, we express that love through loving actions, because love does. Bob Goff wrote a great book with that title a few years ago called Love Does, and it's just a bunch of stories of love being revealed through people's actions. There's all kinds of people, but they're not just talking about love or writing about love or singing about love. They're living out their love. They're actually doing love. Love does. That's how we see it. That's how we feel love. That's how we experience this invisible force of love. Otherwise, it has no effect, right? It's like wind. So wind is invisible, right? Wind is invisible. But when we see dirt flying, and when we see trash blowing, and we see trees bending, then we know the wind's blowing, because wind causes dirt to fly. And wind causes trash to blow, and wind causes trees to bend. The wind does something. And when we see that something, we know that the wind is blowing. And similarly, love does something too. It moves. It acts. Love does. That's how it's expressed. That's how we show it. That's how the love of God is modeled for us. So in verse 9 of our passage today, it says God showed how much he loved us by doing something, right? By sending his one and only son to the world so that we could have eternal life through him. It says this is real love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and loved us. So he did. He sent his son to sacrifice enough to take away our sins. Real love shows up in activity and in doing, and God is love. And so he shares that love. He shares who he is by what he does. Forgiving our sins and healing our brokenness and accepting us and adopting us, and especially in sending his son. He does those things out of his love for us. And as we love God back, we want to do something, right? And that's what the Old Testament sacrifices were all about. This is about his people saying, we love God, and we hate the sin that separates us from God, so we want to do something. So we're going to make a sacrifice out of a goat or a bull or a lamb or something. If they would have sacrificed a mosquito Like, that wouldn't really show much love, right? That wouldn't really show that there's a pain of being separated from God. But then when they actually sacrificed a perfect, valuable animal, it shows how much they hate their sin, and it shows how much they love God. And then in the New Testament, in John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, do something. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Our love for God does. And our love for people, as we love people, real love does. Real love is shown in real sacrifice. And in fact, I guess the greater the love, the greater sacrifice it would be willing to make. So God's love was so great that he sent his son as the ultimate sacrifice. Sending Jesus was the ultimate love does. So whether it's loving God or sharing his love with other people, Advent teaches us not just to look for love and not just to hope to find love or feel love or fall into love. It encourages us to do love. It's easy to say, I love, but real love does. And that can be hard. But this is where it gets even harder. Real love is indiscriminate. And that's a pretty fancy word, but it just really means that real love doesn't play favorites. Look at verse 11. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Now, this term, each other, is a pretty loaded term because John wrote this book to a really wide audience. This book was written to seekers and believers and followers and Jews and Gentiles and Greeks and Romans, all kinds of people. So when John said, love each other, that meant loving all kinds of people, good and bad and ugly, and that's how God loves, indiscriminately. I mean, the Bible teaches us that God so loved the world, right? Not so God so loved this one little pocket of people or this one little group of people or this one little type of people. God so loved the world that he gave his son so that everyone who believed in him could be saved. Everyone. God loves indiscriminately. He loves sinners. God loves people who have chosen their way, Satan's way, sin's way, the world's way. God loves people that have chosen their way instead of his way. Look, Romans 5:7. Now, most people would not be willing to die even for an upright person, but somebody might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. How many of you are Christians? So you're super holy now, right? Right? I mean, Jesus is lucky to even have you on his team, right? You're so amazing. That's awesome for him. But what about before? Like, what about while you were still sinners? And it might be painful, but I'll ask you to imagine, like, your worst day. Just look, remember that day when you did that terrible thing, or you said those terrible words, or you had those terrible thoughts. Remember, like, the you that you're most ashamed of on the day that you're most ashamed of. That's the you that Jesus loved enough to die for. Even when you were his enemy, he loved you. And that's really our model. So Jesus says in Matthew 5:44 that we should love our enemies. We should pray for people that persecute us. Not just like lovable people who love us back. Jesus said, I mean, everybody does that, right? In fact, later in this passage, Jesus says, everybody does that. Everybody loves lovable people. Everybody loves people that love them back. Even sons of the devil do that. But he says to love the least lovable people that you know. Look at verse 45. In that way, you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. So here's that family resemblance, right? God loves. So obviously his kids love. And they love with a powerful love, with a real love, with a higher love, agape love, biblical love, godlike, Christ-following, world-changing love. And that love is best expressed, according to Jesus, to the unlovable. And it sounds kind of mean, but some people are harder to love than others, right? Because of something that they've said or something that they've done or the way that they act or talk or look or smell, just something about them makes them hard to love. How many of you right now can think of someone that you know that is hard to love? Yeah. How many of you are sitting with them right now? You prove it, right? Some people are hard to love. Some people are hard to love. But real love, if we're following the model of Jesus that we see in the Advent, right? Real love, Advent love, means loving them, your enemies, the ones that hurt you and persecute you. And Jesus says, in that way, when you love like that, then you'll really be acting like children of God. And when you do, you'll be showing God to the world, because real love reflects the God who is love. Look at verse 12. It's a really cool passage. It's easy to skip over this. Verse 12 says, nobody's ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Nobody's ever seen God, but if we love like he loves, and his love is in us, then God is brought to full expression in us. So nobody's seen God, but they can see him in us. They can see him in our love, his essence, who he is expressed through us. That's kind of a strange concept, but it's not a new concept. Now, Genesis 1 says God made us to be in his image, right? To be like a little representation of him. Human beings were created to be royal priests, right? We were supposed to represent the world to God, and we were supposed to represent God to the world. Mankind was created, mankind exists to image God, to project God, to reflect God like a mirror, so that the world can see who he is by looking at us. So when people see us really love, with real love, others first love, sacrificial love, intentional, active, indiscriminate love, when the world around us sees that love, they're seeing God in us. They're seeing what God is like. They're learning who God is. And since who he is love, obviously the best way for us to image God, the best way for us to do what we were created to do, the best way for us as human beings to reflect God to the world around us is by loving each other. In fact, that's what Jesus said in John 13:34, right? He said, I'm giving you this new commandment. Love each other just like I loved you. That's how you should love each other. Look what he says, verse 35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Jesus said, the way that the world will recognize us as his followers, the way that the world will see and come to know God through us is not by how we dress or how we talk or what we know or even what we do, keeping rules or being moral. It's not by how great we argue on social media. The best way we reflect God to the world that desperately needs him is by the way that we love each other. Real love reflects the God who is love. So this Advent season, let's remember God is love. And let's reflect him to the world by our love. And especially by doing love, by our actions of love, and especially by how we love people who are hard to love. So who's in for reflecting God through love this Advent season? I'm going to wait till everybody raises their hand, so just might as well do it. Okay, so I'm going to help you with that. And so I've created a little Advent love challenge for you. So this is going to be super helpful if you're one of these super competitive, super productive to-do list type people. We'll put it on the screen. If you're taking notes on the app, it's also on there with little check boxes and stuff. If you're not using the app to take notes, it's really, really cool. Also in this connection center, if you want a piece of paper, we got some pieces of paper back there and they look like this, and it's just the Advent love challenge. And so if you've experienced God and his love, then think of a loving thing that you could do. That's the first step. And so just think of some loving thing that you could do, and think of it in your head, and then commit to yourself that you're going to do it, and then you check that box, and that's it. And then the next thing, for extra credit, choose something that's sacrificial. And in that space, you could write down how it's sacrificial. What does it cost you? How does it take away from you to pour into that person, right? Is it sacrificial? And if it is, you get to check another box. So check that box. And then for bonus extra credit, choose a hard to love person. And if you do, don't tell them. Why are you doing this for me? Well, I needed to pick somebody who was a jerk and you came to mind. So, okay. So like, okay. So that's pick a hard to love person. And then for super bonus extra credit, do it every day through Christmas. And so maybe it's the same person and the same thing, or maybe it's a new person or a new thing every day. And then for super duper bonus extra credit points, repeat it every day forever. Right? So the challenge is to do a loving thing, something sacrificial, for somebody that's hard to love one time, or every day through Christmas, or every day forever. And should you choose to accept this challenge, you should know that you'll be doing something really amazing. I mean, checking the boxes feels good, but if you do this, you'll be reflecting God to the world so that other people can experience the love that you've experienced in Jesus, and that is the love that the world desperately needs. Let's pray. Father, first of all, we just thank you for your love, and it's expressed so well in the Advent season as we see Jesus coming sacrificially for us, coming for unlovable sinners like us. We see your love. And God, as we recognize more and more that you are love, and as we experience your love, and we want to share that love with the people around us, will you just remind us that the best way to share you is to share your love with the people around us. And I pray we're silly and having fun and a little challenge here and all that stuff, but God, will you just really seriously remind us every day that we want to reflect you to the world. So what we're created to do is reflect you to the world around us, and show us how to do that through your love. And I pray that really everybody here will at least once choose one person that's a little bit hard to love and just show some love to that person by something that they do, not just something they think, something that they feel, something that they do, that they'll do it sacrificially, and that they'll do it with the right intention, not that that person can pay them back, but that they'll do it with the intention of showing that person who you are. And God, I just pray that your love will be shown and your kingdom will come through us reflecting you and your love to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.